remarkable faith statement. It may even prompt each of us to reflect upon what we believe about Jesus. Some have suggested that it was somehow easier for the earliest disciples to believe and follow Jesus because they were direct witnesses to his miracles. But are we not witnesses to miracles each and every day? The first day of school was a miracle of happy faces and a few tears, of course, not including the children, I'm just talking about the parents now. It's a miracle of new beginnings. When we encounter and meet a woman who is pregnant, is that not a miracle? The miracle of life? You know, recently two of our teachers were blessed with babies, and I'm advised that there is at least one, if not two, other members of the school staff who are also pregnant. I told Terry Mullaney, our principal, that our school staff may be singularly responsible for keeping our three-year-old in junior kindergarten classes growing in the coming years. We can also think of miracles that defy understanding, the miracles at Medjugorje and at Fatima, Padre Pio's stigmata. These and other places and saints have been a source of miracles when our bodies heal themselves. Is that not a miracle? And then we have so many among us who are miracle workers, and this is not an exhaustive list, but I recall emergency medical technicians and nurses and doctors and firefighters and law enforcement officials. These and other folks are miracle workers. And all of these miracles happening in this day and time are divinely inspired. Jesus, the Holy One of God, is still among us. 3 years ago, Pope Francis declared a holy year of mercy, and the year highlighted the Catholic Church's mission as a witness for mercy. And in calling for that celebration, Francis noted that no one can be excluded from mercy. He said, "Mercy is the beating heart of the gospel. May the balm of mercy reach everyone, both believers and those far away, as a sign that the kingdom of God is already in our midst." And the bread of life, my friends, Jesus is in our midst, and mercy is what defines us. The miracle of the Eucharist nourishes us, and having been nourished, we are called to lower our voices and be respectful to others and open our hearts. And here is where Jesus once again comes in. Despite the accusations and the ridicule of his opponents, Jesus simply says, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Notice Jesus did not say that if you don't believe in me, you'll be cast aside and called names or placed under suspicion for not being quite like the others. He did not set up a litmus test to determine whether one was good enough to be one of his followers. He simply said, "The Father has sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day." Perhaps miracles of reconciliation and forgiveness can occur when we intentionally lower the volume in our conversations with others and in toning down the rhetoric which sometimes passes for public debate. What a miracle that would be. So let us be respectful, and let us open our hearts to God's love, and let us open our eyes to the beauty with which he surrounds us. And let us Let us thank him for the gift of his Son, the bread of life, the one whose passion, death, and resurrection is the good news of salvation. And let us lower the volume and be respectful, perhaps just a little bit less judgmental. For all of us are sinners in this one together. And I'm mindful that with all I've said up to now, that our church has sinned. And there's nothing more I can say than to acknowledge that great evil. But I'm also reminded that all of us are loved by our merciful God. And may our hearts be open to that great love that he gives all of us. And my brothers and sisters,